Yo, it's Friday. WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, happy Kobe Day.
Yes, happy Kobe Day. I'm glad you said that. That was something to put a smile on my face. Spike, Jackie Baseball, we're back in trouble again. We've lost another series. Holler at your boy.
There's no hollering, Ike.
No?
Whoa. You're refusing to holler.
No hollering.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, there will be hollering.
There will be hollering. Yeah. But there's no joy.
Right. Yes. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. Book your fantasy football party at Chickie's and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles and the home of the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football Draft. We do have a big show. We have a giant station announcement coming up at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
We are making the station announcement. It will happen within the Mount Rush 4.
Yeah.
But the big station announcement will happen at 4 o'clock.
I tell you what, we only make big announcements during our show bits.
Yeah. They got to fit around our stuff.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. And coming up at 3 o'clock, we have Elliot Shore Parks talk about who will and who won't make the team for the Eagles. But obviously, as Ike said and Jack indicated, we have to talk about the Phillies. I just think after watching that game and hearing the reaction all day, there are too many people talking about Rob Thomson and this collapse we have seen so far, collapse-ish, from the Phillies. It's Rob Thomson. Why doesn't he have the players hitting better? Why is he putting this pitcher in? Why is he pinch hitting for that one? And I just think it's all misdirected. We could nitpick on game decisions for Rob Thomson, but this is not about Rob Thomson. This is about one of two things. This is about Dave Dombrowski, or it's about the players. See, I don't know what Rob Thomson's supposed to do when this team, when you look at it in totality, is exactly what they were last year. They are streaky. They have long times where they don't hit. They have long times where they do hit. The pitchers are pitching exactly as we would expect to pitch. Most of them probably better than we would expect. You look up and down the lineup, and aside from Bryson Stott and Brandon Marsh, everybody's having a normal year. The team will end up around 90 wins, which is what happened last year, with the exact same team. So you're either mad that Dave Dombrowski did not put together a good enough team to be what you expect, or you're mad at the players for not performing, but this is not on Rob Thomson.
You're trying to tell me none of this falls on Rob Thomson?
I'm saying very little of it falls on Rob Thomson.
I mean, I think that's fair. I don't think the majority of the blame should be on Rob Thomson, but I believe it's fair criticism of Rob Thomson when we're talking about sustained bad baseball play, right? Like, if something is a week or two, somebody's in a slump, that's one thing. When you're talking 2.5, 3 months of this play, where does the manager fit in as far as changing things? He may not be the reason they're losing games, but he's not doing a whole lot to solve the issue. His touch, his gut feeling, sitting guys. Why is Alec Bohm sitting last night? Why?
Because they have like 12 games in a row. And they're all important.
God. They shouldn't be upset when they lose then. If it's okay for Bryce not to pinch hit at home because he needs to be rested, it's okay for Alec Bohm to sit when they're struggling to score runs in Atlanta, then we shouldn't be mad that they lose games. We shouldn't be mad about it.
No, it's not that we shouldn't be mad that they lose games. I'm looking at everything they've done this year, and I can't figure out how much. We didn't, at the end of the first 2 months, go, wow, Edmundo Sosa's hitting well because of Rob Thomson. Wow, Ranger Suarez
is playing well because Rob Thomson is playing Sosa. So he gets credit for playing those guys.
Well, he played Sosa because Trey Turner was hurt.
That's just an example that I'm using.
Okay.
I'm saying he gets credit when he plays those guys. When those guys play well and somebody is sitting, he gets the credit for it. His impact is always going to be minimal. I'm not saying he's the reason, but he is the last one on the totem pole who's received criticism. We criticized everybody else. Nobody has gone unscathed here. You've criticized Bryce. Like, nobody is gone without being criticized. Why can't we criticize this guy for not being able to push the right buttons to get this team turned around? It wasn't time for a team-only meeting. It only took 2.5 months for that. Like, we were foolish as fans to want something to be done in the moment. They told us, calm down. You know where they get that from? Their manager. He sets the tone in the clubhouse for the urgency. Now, whether that's coming from upstairs or what have you, he's following directions from upstairs, whatever. He's there as a liaison. He's there as a face, a figure for this organization as the manager. He has to explain what happens. He's the one telling everybody, don't panic. We'll be okay. They'll hit. Don't question this. Don't question that. I got this under control. Well, when it continues to happen, at some point, he has to have the finger pointed at him.
They have designed a team to have a manager like Rob Thompson. I'll tell you who should be taking some responsibility in the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. It's the guy that feels comfortable telling them which players to sign. I don't know. I think if you're going to design a team with all of these veteran leaders, Bryce Harper, veteran leader, Trey Turner, veteran leader, Kyle Schwarber, veteran leader, JT Realmuto, veteran leader, veteran leader, veteran leader, veteran leader, all over the place. Just let them go. Let them do what they had. They don't want a manager up there telling them what to do. They have built a team for a manager like Rob Thompson. And to not put the leadership issues on those leadership players, to not put performance issues on those performance players, and to be quite honest with you, I don't think they're performing any different, at least in terms of individual statistics, than we could have. I think if you looked at this Bryce Harper year compared to every other Bryce Harper year, it's right in line. It's not his best year. It's not his worst year. It's right in line.
So you're blaming Bryce Harper for all this?
No, I'm saying this team has been built around veteran leadership, that they run that clubhouse, that Rob Thompson is just sort of this manager that lets them work their things out. If they're not working it out, That's on the construction of the team. It's on the players, but it's certainly not on the guy who we hired basically to just let them do what their job is. They're not doing their jobs. I don't know what he can do. He can move guys around in the lineup. He could sit a guy down or not sit a guy down. But ultimately, they are who they are, and they need to own up to it. And I do think a lot. While I agree that we can question what he does. I agree with that. I agree we can question what he does. But I think a large part of blaming Rob Thompson is people not being able to come to the realization that maybe they are not as good as we thought they were. And we look around, and I look at the Dodgers. Their two best players are two of the five best players, six best players in baseball. Otani and Mookie Betts. I look at the Yankees. Their two best players are two of the best players in baseball, two of the five, six best players in baseball, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. And then I look at our two best players, and Bryce Harper and Trey Turner are not two of the five best players in baseball. They might not even be two of the 10 best players in baseball. And we do not want to look at all this money spent and all this hope given and said, maybe they are not who we thought they were, we want to put it on Rob Thompson.
Well, it's not putting it on Rob Thompson. Has this team not underachieved over the last 3 months? Are you telling me they're playing to expectations right now?
I'm saying in totality they're playing to expectations. I agree with you.
There's no way. When I look at the last two seasons, a team that got off to a slow start in 2022 turned it around and made the World Series. Last year, a team that was basically missing their best player for the first half of the season because he's coming off Tommy John surgery, other guys having surgery, coming off the World Baseball Classic, all those types of things. They turned it around and got to the NLCS. A team that is completely healthy coming into the season and with a lot of these issues already resolved, showed us what they can look like when they're at their best through the first 60-odd games of the season. They showed us. I don't care about the opponents. I don't care about any of that stuff. They showed us what they could ultimately look like in the first half of the season. And somehow that has gone away. Now, you want to tell me that they aren't as good as what they showed us early in the season? That's fine. I can accept that. But I'm not going to buy that this is what they are as a baseball team and come to this reality if this is what they are. Are you kidding me? No, there's no way. With Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Suarez, Sanchez pitching the way he's pitching, this lineup of 4 to 5 $20-plus million players, you're telling me that they aren't better than a 500 to sub-500 baseball team?
I'm telling you, we could have spent that money more wisely and been better. And
all revisionist history, though. Because here's where that argument falls short, Spike. They have proven World Series, NLCS. They've done that in the back-to-back years.
Right, but they've also won 90 games in those back-to-back years.
I know,
so but all I would say
is... It's more to explain to that based on circumstances and guys not being available than it is me saying this is a roster that's been healthy for the most part, and now they're underperforming. At least I could explain why they didn't win 95 to 100 games the last couple of seasons. There's no explanation for that with this team this year. This team is damn near a 100-win team. It should be, is what I'm saying, is what it should be. Not the 105, 10, 15 they were on earlier, but a 95 to 100-win team, that's not asking too much from a $300 million payroll.
Yeah, I think that the $300 million payroll may have been spent the wrong way. I think we'll figure that out at the end of the season and how they're going to move forward, but just because you spend a lot of money doesn't mean that you get your money's worth, and it's the job of the general manager to make sure that he is getting as much production as he can out of every dollar he spent, and maybe he hasn't done that. 215-592-9494.
Eight guys to the All-Star game this year.
That was a long time ago.
A team record.
Felt like a different season.
215-592-9494.
Welcome to the show, Jack.
How much blame does Rob Thompson deserve? Jack, how much?
I don't want to be. I'm just kidding.
I don't
want to be here. So I think the Rob Thompson criticism is mostly unfair. And I've gotten to the point where I'm just mad at the guys. Like, I'm more mad at the players. Like, I think they're a veteran-laden team. And, like, part of the Rob Thompson thing was, okay, again, like Spike said, like, we're going to let you kind of run this clubhouse. Like, this is Schwarber's clubhouse. This is Harper's clubhouse. And it's like, at some point, there has to be some kind of personal pride to pull themselves out of this. Like, I don't think it's the Rob Thompson. Like, they called a team meeting. They tried that. They thought they got out of it. Like, at this point, it falls on these guys. I think he has tried things. They're always going to try to manage stuff. Last night was ridiculous. Like, I agree with you. Like, Alec Bohm should have played last night. We don't need to worry about managing him. And by the way, if you want to get Weston Wilson in the lineup, play him in left field. For Brandon Marsh, who has struck out 25 of his last 50 plate appearances. Like, let's grow up with that nonsense. Like,
whose decision is that?
Yeah, I agree. That's a Rob Thompson slash load management and the injury thing. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to why this team is struggling, like, that's where I come back to these guys on offense are the ones that are cratering this
team.
Sure.
Listen, we may be arguing two different things here. That's not what I'm arguing against. What I'm arguing against or pushing back against is that Rob Thompson somehow doesn't deserve some blame here.
Sure.
That's what I'm pushing back against.
Uh-huh.
I'm not telling you the players don't deserve the majority of the blame, but we've been yelling about the players for 2 months. You told me 2 months ago it wasn't Rob Thompson. You told me a month ago it wasn't Rob Thompson. Mm-hmm. And now today we sit here still losing series, still can't score, still sitting guys when they shouldn't. Leaving guys in too long. You realize that we were one hit away from being swept in Atlanta because Alvarado was left in the game the other night. We were lucky to get out of that game.
Absolutely.
With a win.
Absolutely we were lucky. Absolutely. If Brandon Marsh strikes out with Weston Wilson on third, we lose that game.
So I think fans, the ones that are looking at Thompson,
mm-hmm.
we're frustrated to our wit's end. We're tired of yelling about Bryce this and Stott that and Trey Turner this and Alec Bohm don't hit home runs and Aaron Nola's not an ace. Like, we've been doing that. When does the manager put his fingerprints on this thing? Why is he above criticism?
Now,
that's what I don't get. Nick Sirianni gets told, keep your hands off the team. Just be a cheerleader. But everybody is ready to fire him the moment the team is not playing well. He's essentially Rob Thompson. But we'll be ready to fire him as soon as the team goes 1-3.
Well, so.
But with Rob Thompson, we can't do anything. We can't even criticize him.
I think there's a double standard. I agree with you. The difference is I'm not ready to give Rob Thompson all sorts of credit for them being good either. But that's a completely different discussion about how we handle it when he's good, because he certainly gets tons of credit.
And he should get it.
And got more credit than Sirianni ever got.
Yes.
I would agree with you there. Now, before we go to the phones, it's a very important day in that we have four spots. Well, five, but we only have 4 hours, so we'll have to figure out.
We'll have to find that last spot.
We'll have to find that last spot. We are giving away one spot an hour for the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy Football League. You have to tell us why you deserve it. Beg? I don't care. Tell us why you're good at it? I don't care. It's up to you to be creative with it. We have 5 spots left. We will give them all away today, at least one an hour. You have to be available next Wednesday at 5 o'clock for the draft. You have to be able to come in person.
I mean, we've had some, like, I think the so far we've done this, if I had to give it a grade, I would probably say a nice little C plus.
Oh, like, yeah. See, they've been fine.
Like,
some people better than others.
Again, like, I want, like, real submissions today.
Yeah.
Like, why do you, it's a pretty prestigious league.
Yeah, show us why you care. Show us, give us something creative, and you can get in the Fantasy Football League today. We have five spots left, 215-592-9494. Of course, you have to call with your sports point to lead. All right, kicking us off, Lawrence in Philadelphia. You're on WIP. What up, Lawrence?
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What up, Lawrence?
Mike, what's going on? How y'all doing today, man? Look, man, I want to toot my own horn, man. I've been keep saying this, man, since the last road trip. If they was only going 1-3 wins, they won 4. This road trip, they probably just win the one they won against Atlanta. But Kansas City is going to show them how far they're back.
Congratulations. Why does that make you so happy, Lawrence?
It doesn't make me feel happy because I love
it.
It
sounds like you're pretty happy. I got to be honest with you.
No, I'm not happy. I love this. It's just the fact that I know baseball. And I know that you need to put Harper in the two-hole and put Schwarber in the four-hole.
What difference would that make? Bryce Harper's hitting like zero over the last. What difference would it make having a guy hitting zero third or a guy hitting zero second?
Because other teams know that all they got to do is walk forward, and we just concentrate on the other players in the back. We know Harper's bad third. We good with that. They good with that. They just going to make them chase ball. But if you got Turner in the first spot, that means a lot of pressure on him. And you got Harper batting second, and that makes Turner know, I got to get on base. And you got Bone batting third, then you got your cleanup hitter. Ain't no team, other team in the league besides the Dodgers that got a power hitter that's batting first, and that's Otani. And look at his numbers. Look at his Otani numbers.
Yeah.
Stolen bases, RBIs, home runs, plus he's a pitcher. So I'm just saying, man, look, I love Topper, but Topper is so stubborn, man. With the righty, everything is not working, and you guys can see it's not working. That's why we're going on a downward tone from the last 3 years. That's what I'm saying.
I honestly don't think they're downward from the last few years.
Like, so they're chasing at 49% of pitches. That doesn't matter who is batting leadoff, second, third, or fourth, Lawrence. Like, this isn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It would not matter. Kyle Schwarber is more of a stressful leadoff hitter than Trey Turner, who just chases everything out of the strike zone. You really think he's more stressed facing Trey Turner or Kyle Schwarber?
But that's not the point, though. The point
of course it's the point. Of course it's the point. Because if they're going to walk him, guess what? That gets runners on base. Do you think that matters? Do you think that has value?
Because if you – listen,
of course it has value. Of course it has value. He's going to drive in 100 runs from the leadoff spot. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
This is what I'm talking about.
All the fans, like myself, is trying to understand why if you don't make a move, then you're going to be talking about who the next manager going to be next year. And that next manager might come in like, look, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to have Turner batting first, Harper batting second, Bone batting third, Schwarber batting fourth, Castellanos batting fifth, and I'm going to have Realmuto batting sixth.
Well, that'll be magic. It'll be magic.
Winning.
Just have
that
them.
Called Wendy, man. I played this game for.
I know.
I can tell.
60 years.
I know.
That's what I'm saying, man. Look, man. I love this team, and you can feel my passion in me, man. But you know,
I disagree.
Topper, look, he's gonna go somewhere else and be. He won't be a manager. He probably be somebody assistant manager, like he was with Girardi, and that's the bottom line. Y'all guys don't get it, man. I mean, look, I know y'all love Topper, just like I said. But he's so stubborn that he won't make a change for the fans that we pay all our money. Go on the road, pay all our money. Everything. Merchandise. You can name the whole nine yards. But when you keep on kickboards consistently, insanely, putting a team out there that can't even get a hit.
Thank you for the call. I understand lineup tweaks. I do. I just can't imagine that moving a guy one spot in the lineup all of a sudden, and by the way, after the first inning, nobody's leading off anymore. right? I mean, like, the guys at the top of the lineup, you could make an argument that if Bryce Harper's your best hitter, he should lead off. I've seen it before. Yep. I understand the Ohtani thing. Yep. They did it with Aaron Judge for a while. I get it. But he's not your best hitter right now. He's not hitting at all. So I guess I don't.
But would he see more fastballs in that leadoff spot? Would he see more pitches to hit in that leadoff spot?
Maybe in the first inning. I'm not sure that he'd see more fastballs after the first inning.
I'm just saying it works for Kyle Schwarber.
It does work.
That's why he doesn't want to get out of the spot.
Yeah, but by the way, like the team has, if we're going to talk about past success, which we talked about a little bit, and what the team has done prior, mm-hmm. the team has done that with Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot.
Yeah.
You know, so I
don't think one thing changes everything for
right.
the team.
Right.
That part I do agree with you. I think these guys certainly need to play better. But man, I think this has been going on so long, we've run out of answers. We run out of ways to try to fix it.
I think what Thompson is trying to do is say, look, I know where everybody is most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I will bet on leaving them in their most comfortable spot and hoping that it turns around, as opposed to putting them in a spot where they're not comfortable.
Right.
And then if it doesn't work, what do I do then?
Right.
Do I move everybody else back?
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, sometimes the lineup stuff day to day is like deck chairs on the Titanic. I don't think it makes that much a difference. Now, if you're going to have a completely different philosophy and say Schwarber's not the leadoff hitter anymore, that's not how I want to run my team, that's a completely different situation. And by the way, I don't think that's just Topper. I think that is him and Dombrowski. I think that's a much bigger conversation than about the how the team is run. But I think day-to-day, just mixing up the lineup, I'm just not sure that that makes any bit of a difference.
Well, what annoys me is like, all right, so like with these guys, right? You let Arcia stare down your team last night, or two nights ago, and there's no retaliation. Like, they came back and they won the game. That's good. It's just like, at some point, the personal pride has to take over with these guys as well. Like, Strom hit a guy a couple weeks ago to protect Castellanos. It's like, all right, there's a little moment. Like, there's a little thing. Like, where is some of that togetherness? Like, they talk about the resiliency. And, like, I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about resiliency until we see it. Like, where is that?
So I'm going to say this. Sometimes a message, if you heard it enough, can start to fall on deaf ears. And here's
yes.
what I mean by that. Tony Dungy was a great coach, great head coach, great man, great leader of men. It didn't work in Tampa Bay anymore. It got them so far. It didn't work anymore. Ownership must have felt like, you know, Coach Dungy is a great man. He's a great man of faith. But this team needs something else. They may need to be pushed a little bit more.
Yeah.
They brought in a taskmaster and John Gruden. They won a Super Bowl in John Gruden's first year.
Yeah, there might be the argument that the locker room, they're all too comfortable with each other and they're too comfortable with him.
Yes.
Now, that would be an argument for replacing him.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying if things keep going the way.
Yes.
Because what else there is to think about?
Right.
If this thing keeps going down this path,
oh, yeah.
right.
you can't tell me at the end of the season Topper's not getting
oh,
blamed
no.
for it.
I you could make the in fact, I would make the argument on replacing him over telling him to do something.
Oh, sure. Let him go out his way.
Yeah. You think everyone's too comfortable, which, by the way, with a team that is, they all like each other and
right.
afraid of stepping on each other's toes, and there's not really a loud guy in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
You could make that argument because those guys wear out their welcome too. Those messages.
Those tyrants and
yeah.
all. Yeah, yeah, yep,
but,
I agree.
But maybe if they
just
don't.
Just like Gruden did,
yes.
he wore out.
Right.
Exactly.
It happens in every sport.
Yep.
Doug Collins is famous, by the way, for wearing out his welcome. There are plenty of coaches like Tom Thibodeau has generally worn out his
Larry
welcome.
Brown.
Larry Brown. And if that is where we are, that'll be a conversation for after the year. I don't think anybody's firing Rob Thompson in the middle of the season.
No,
but I think that would be a conversation for after
can
the
we,
year.
Yeah. Can we get Boa in a jersey and, go,
yeah.
and hang out in the clubhouse for the rest of the season?
Would not mind that at all.
Because you think about it, John Middleton is not going to be happy.
No.
Well, he's off
the end of the season.
He's not happy right now.
That's what
Correct.
I'm saying. So
yep.
he's already sort of letting it be known that things ain't going to just stay status
well,
quo.
And Spike, you were here for this. Obviously, we had the show. He brought Charlie Manuel in to be the head coach in 2019.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like
that's when you knew, by the way, that Gabe was done.
Yes.
You know? And there's no way. There is absolutely no way. If this team falters, if they do not get it back together or have a run in the playoffs, nobody will be safe with Middleton. He's not going to just sit there and let all this happen. All right. Yeah. We have your final shots to get in the WIP Afternoon Show Fantasy League. You have to tell us why. We're talking about Rob Thompson. Does he deserve more blame, less blame, no blame at all? 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, the perfect place for a pregame, in-game, or postgame snack for this weekend's Eagles preseason game, official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.